Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, An Unlikely Story by Joseph Mendel.
I will tell you the circumstance of time and place, and you may hold history in your hand. The time, a little more than 80 years ago. The place, a mining town in Colorado. A difficult time when, as it is written, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. An improbable place among mountains 2 miles high. As for what happened then and there, I must tell you, it is an unlikely story.
Hold your horses, I'm coming. You break that glass later and you'll be drinking out of a tin cup.
No tin cup will hold a Taos Latin and yourself for whiskey.
If you don't mind.
Those glasses come all the way from Kansas City.
Sure, sure. Just leave the bottle, partner.
Excuse me.
Well, mister, what'll it be? Beer, whiskey?
I think I will have a sarsaparilla. Are you all right?
I'm fine, partner, but when a man's drinking, you ought to be a mite more careful what you say.
Drinks around me, boys. Hey! Somebody take a bottle to the piano player.
Much obliged, Your Majesty.
Well, what are you waiting for? Set him up for the boys.
I ain't seen the color of your money. No offense, Matt Comanche.
No? What the devil do you mean? Keep your hands on top of the counter.
I'm not looking for trouble, Comanche.
You're not doing much to stay out of it.
Look at it my way. I have to run a cash business.
All right. Take a look at that. Is it the right color?
Yeah. A real pretty color. Gold color.
Step up to the bar, gents, and name your poison.
I have a scotch.
So you finally stake a claim, huh, Comanche?
Who said I did, Slater?
Well, matter of fact, nobody. All the same, gold dust usually comes from...
What's the difference where it came from?
Well, no difference, Comanche. No difference at all. I didn't mean anything.
You talk too much, Slater. Just shut up and have a drink. Everybody, drink up!
Come on, drink up!
Hey, you there.
Who? Me?
I said drinks are on me. Are you hard of hearing?
No, as it happens just the opposite.
Uh-huh. Maybe my liquor isn't good enough for you, huh?
I do not drink whiskey, but thank you all the same, Mr. Comanche.
Mr. Comanche!
Look, what are you trying to do?
Believe me, nothing except to finish my sarsaparilla.
Listen, I don't know what you're after, but I don't like it.
Oh, don't waste your breath on him, Comanche.
Take your hands off me, Slater.
Well, can't you see he's green? He don't know no better.
Get out of my way, Slater. You. Stand away from that bar.
Why?
Here's 6 reasons why.
Well, there's no need for gunplay, Comanche.
Do not be concerned, my friend. He will not shoot.
I'm trying to help you, mister. Don't you know when to keep your mouth shut?
He will not shoot, and I will tell you why. Because this is the state of Colorado and the United States of America, and we live by the law. It's good sarsaparilla, bartender. I bid you good day, gentlemen.
Well, I'll be.
I forgot to ask, in which direction should I go to find a place to dig for gold?
Wait up there, partner.
Yes? Is something wrong? Why are you looking at me like that?
You really don't understand, do you?
I'm sorry, I do not know what you are talking about.
Look here, you're not back east, wherever it is you come from.
From Philadelphia.
Well, this place ain't no city of brotherly love.
Oh, you're thinking of that one, Comanche. But you see, he didn't shoot after all.
Well, maybe you mesmerized him. How do I know? But don't count on it next time. And don't count on the law to protect you. There ain't no law nearer than Denver.
You are mistaken, my friend. The law is very near. An old law. Thou shalt not murder. It is here, too, the same law.
Well, I don't suppose you'd take some good advice.
I'm always willing to listen.
All right, then. Go back to Philadelphia. Today. Right now. Well, you listened. How are you going to get to the diggings?
I walked from Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. I can walk a few more miles. You do not have to be concerned about me.
Of course not. Why should I be concerned? After all, here you are, all outfitted. City shoes, Philadelphia coat, pick and shovel and a pan. What's this, a book? You have to carry a book up into the mountains? What's so funny about that?
I'm pleased with the fitness of things. I will go up into the mountains of Colorado, carrying the book first written on the Mount of Sinai.
His name was Abraham Freiberg. And if he seems at this distance an unlikely figure in the hazardous landscape of the times, he seemed no different to Nero.
Well, you'll freeze to death or drown in the spring floods.
If the pick on his shoulder and the Bible under his arm threw incongruous shadows on the mountain trails, it is nevertheless true, now as then, that gold draws persons of many persuasions.
Gold? He don't know granite bedrock from a vein of quartz. Not that it's any concern of mine.
Why should it be Carl Slater's concern what Abraham Freiberg did or where he went? Still, I tell you this with some surprise. Abe Freiberg did not go alone.
The beans are getting cold, Abe. Abe, you have to rest once in a while.
You do not find gold by resting.
Maybe you are right, Carl. It's good to sit down.
I'll tell you again, Abe, real slow. Out here in Colorado, the big strikes are already made.
I do not expect a big strike.
You'll break your back for every ounce of pay dirt.
I do not want much, Carl.
Sure, that's what they all say. Before the fever gets them.
I want only enough, well, to fill this.
Hey, that's a right handsome pouch.
Kidskin.
Decorated real pretty. Where'd you buy it?
It was a present from a friend in Philadelphia.
A friend? Oh, I see. Abe, you're crazier than I thought. You're figuring on bringing a woman out here.
We talked about it before I left Philadelphia. We know what we want, Carl.
You're dreaming. You don't know anything.
Do you remember the words of the book of Job?
That's got nothing to do with it.
Listen. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread. And underneath, it is turned up as it were by fire, and it hath dust of gold. Bread and dust of gold. What would I want with a big strike with a mountain of gold? Carl, coming west, right here in Colorado, I pass through river valleys with good black soil. I want only enough gold to buy land for a farm.
Abe, look at your hands. Go on, look at them.
I know. They are blistered and torn. Why shouldn't they be? In Philadelphia, I was a watchmaker. With my fingers, I could pick up the smallest balance wheel. It is nothing. My hands will heal and harden.
And your friend in Philadelphia? What about her hands?
We are not afraid of hard work. Why should we be afraid?
No, I guess you're not afraid. Not even of men like Comanche. Well, are you?
What do you expect me to say? That the gun doesn't frighten me? It does, Carl. It does.
Well, all the same,
I will tell you something. I came to Philadelphia 5 years ago from Russia, where I was born. I'm a Jew, Carl.
Well, who asked you? What difference does it make?
In Russia, it makes a difference. If you are a Jew in Russia, you live within the pale, in a ghetto. And you listen. Always you listen.
Oh, you don't have to tell me any of this.
I will tell you anyhow. You listen for the horses of the Cossacks, for the whistle of their whips, for the explosion of their guns. And when you hear them, you run, you hide. If you are lucky, you come back afterward to bury the dead, to clear away the ashes.
Abe, you're not, this is Colorado.
Yes, that is what I said. If a gun frightens me, still I don't have to be afraid in the same way, because this is the United States of America, and we live by the law.
And by the sweat of your brow. Let's get to work.
Oh, I'm willing, but my muscles. Carl, about this man, Comanche, he had a pouch of gold dust. But he doesn't seem to me to be the kind of man who swings a pick.
Well, it's healthier not to ask questions, Abe. But between you and me, swinging a pick's not the only way to get gold.
Well, here you are, Abe.
Thank you. It's good, Sarsaparilla. It is very quiet here tonight.
Yeah.
I have no cash. I will have to pay in gold. Here.
Put it away.
I thank you, but no, I will pay.
You'll pay later. You don't make a public show of a pouch full of gold dust.
Only 3/4 full.
All right. You want to lose it?
I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. We are all friends here.
Yeah, somebody's friends. A gang of them raided my claim and took every ounce of dust.
Well, you're not the only one. 6 robberies in the last 2 weeks. But you're lucky at that.
Yeah, what do you mean, lucky?
We found a prospector today back in North Branch with a bullet in his head.
Okay. Who was he? You know who
it was? I figure it's an outside gang. Look for strangers in town, I say. I'll have another beer.
Strangers. That's 4 bits. Strangers. There are 10,000 men in these diggings. When I set up here a year ago, there were 20, maybe 30 altogether.
Yeah, I remember. A man could leave his gold right in his cabin and find it when he came back.
Sure ain't the same way now.
Is that all you want, to cry in your beer?
What's the matter with you, Peters?
Don't you want to do something about it?
We sent a call to the U.S. Marshal in Denver, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
The Marshal's got his hands full in Denver. I'm not counting on him.
Well, now, who are you counting on, Peters?
Maybe you.
Huh?
Maybe your partner there. I got a paper right here in my pocket. Everybody's got one. They're all over town.
Recruiting paper for vigilantes.
For a committee of public safety, a citizens committee. Somebody wants to do something about setting up law and order. Here, read it and see for yourself.
I read it. One thing I don't see any names on that paper.
What do you expect? Suppose a man puts his name down. Suppose he does.
He's liable to end up back in North Branch with a bullet in his head. See what you mean?
Then it ain't much of a recruiting paper.
Well, it is if you do what it says. If you go to the loft over the general store after dark. Now, what are you shaking your head for, Freiberg?
I do not like it, Peters.
You don't like it? Ha! That's too bad. Give him another sarsaparilla to cry in.
I do not like it that men should go up the back stairs in the dark to set up law and order.
Nobody likes it, but it's safer that way.
He's right, Abe. At least until the gang that's operating here is caught.
And when they are caught, what then?
Well,
I'll tell you what. We catch him, we give him a fair trial quick, and then we hang him.
What is it, Carl? It's too early to get up. It is still dark. It's the middle of the night, Carl. What are you looking for? Who is it? What are you doing here? Carl, there is someone. Help, Carl! I need dark, Peters.
Well, think hard, Freiberg. There was no moon, but it was a clear night.
I'm sorry. It happened so quickly, I could see nothing.
What about you, Slater?
The time I came up is all over.
Freiberg, would you know his voice again?
He did not say anything.
How did he move? Sometimes you can...
Babe's been shot, Peters. The doc just fixed up his arm. Leave him alone.
What am I doing to him, Slater? It's for his benefit. He was the one who was shot. His gold was robbed.
Don't you think I want it back? Don't you think I want the thief caught and punished?
If you do, you're not much help.
I cannot tell you what I don't know.
Yeah, all right. The point is, the committee's got a pretty good idea about the leader of the gang.
The committee?
Committee of Public Safety. But they're not sure. Now, if you...
Excuse me. You're one of the committee?
When the right time comes, everybody will know who the committee is. If you remember something, let me know.
Doc says your arm will be all right in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
That's too bad about the gold.
There was almost enough, Carl. The pouch was almost full. Why did it have to happen to me?
Well, it could have happened to anybody, Abe. Eh?
I dug the earth out of the mountain and sifted and washed it. Each shiny, precious golden flake went into the pouch together with pain.
There's more where that came from, eh?
It was for a purpose. Not to bring to the nearest saloon and... I'm sorry, Carl. I did not mean...
Oh, it's true enough, Abe. Many's a handful of dust I gambled away or drank away in one night.
I do not mean to judge you, but for me, it is different.
I reckon it is. I reckon gold don't mean as much to me as it does to you. Well, what's the matter? What did I say?
Is there another blanket?
Hey, you're shivering with a chill.
It is a touch of fever. You told me about it once. The fever for gold.
Well, all I meant was...
I know, Carl. But I thank you for reminding me. I think I will recover.
Here's a rope.
Not yet.
What? Say, try this for size. Come on, see.
Rick,
hold him, boy. Hold him. Now, there you are. How's the fit?
Maybe a little tight around the neck, eh, Comanche? I said not yet.
Now who's wasting time, Peters?
This ain't no mob. It's a citizens' committee. We'll do it nice and legal, you hear?
All right, get on with it, Peters.
It won't take long. Gibbs.
Right here.
We'll hear your evidence, Gibbs.
Well, I rode down to Denver last week. I know a fella down there in the Grand Hotel.
Never mind that. Just tell us what you saw in the bar.
That's what I'm doing. Well, I'm having a drink at the bar. Real whiskey. Not the rot gut we get in town.
If you don't like my whiskey, Gibbs, don't buy it.
Whiskey? You call that?
Gibbs, you going to tell your story or not?
I'm trying to tell it, Peters, but you keep interrupting. Anyway... Comanche comes in. You know how he does. He hollers, drinks are on me. Well, I figure a drink is a drink.
Get to the point.
Sure, Peter, sure. Well, the point is, when he puts down the gold dust to pay for the drinks, man standing next to him says, "That's a right handsome poke, Comanche. I like to get me one like that." Well, Comanche, he laughs and says, "Can't be done, mister. This here is handmade, only one of its kind."
Did you recognize the pouch?
Of course. It was Abe Freiberg's. Everybody knows it.
Yes,
well, there was Comanche holding it up.
That's
like
all, Gibbs. Now we'll have the evidence of what happened here. You saw it, bartender.
I see everything that happens in my place.
Then tell it.
There's nothing much to tell. When Comanche came in here, the Committee of Public Safety was waiting for him. Took his gun, searched him, found the pouch.
It's under your counter. Let's have it. All right. That's the pouch we took from him?
Yeah, you gave it for me to hold, didn't you?
Gibbs, this the pouch you saw in Comanche in Denver?
Yeah, that's it.
Freiberg, this your pouch?
It is mine.
All right, take it. You didn't get a chance to spend all your gold.
Well, I guess that's it, boys. Get moving, Comanche.
Wait, just one more thing.
What now, Peters?
He's entitled to have his say. Go ahead, Comanche. Speak up if you want to.
What am I supposed to say?
It's up to you.
No, it ain't. I'm no fool.
Well, it wasn't smart to hold on to that pouch.
No matter what I say, the same thing will happen.
That's right. We got the tray picked out.
It's a penalty for what you did, Comanche.
Who says so?
All right, men, take him away.
Come on. Wait.
What for?
He asked a question, Peters. He's entitled to an answer.
He's had all he's entitled to, a fair trial, and he's guilty.
Then I ask the question. Who says so?
I don't understand you, Freiberg. He shot you. He stole your gold.
You don't know it. I do not know it.
He had your pouch, remember?
Maybe he found it. Maybe he bought it from the thief. Listen, Peters. Even if you see a man with a bloody knife in his hand, you cannot say he's a murderer without more evidence.
What are you after? You want us to let him go?
I want you to take him to Denver. I want you to turn him over to the marshal to stand trial under the law.
In this town, we're the law.
No. You're a mob taking the law into your own hands. If you hang him, you are murderers.
I've been wanting to do that ever since the first time I saw you, Freiberg.
All right. You did it. Now take him to the marshal in Denver.
If you're squeamish, you stay inside. Comanche's only getting what he deserves.
I do not know how to speak to a mob. So I will speak to you, Peters. To you, Gibbs. To every single person here, as if you were alone. Listen. The words are not mine, but listen. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Justice. Justice shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live.
I will not presume to teach you history. You know that in those days, in the name of law and justice, many a tree was draped with strange fruit. And knowing as well that history runs an even course, you know how likely it is that this story also ends with a tree and a rope.
Get down, Comanche! Marshal, there's your prisoner.
But the ending is different. For as I said at the beginning, this is an unlikely story. Why should you be surprised? It is possible that there would be no history at all if the unlikely never happened.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Harold J. Jonas, Chairman of the History Department at Orange County Community College, Middletown, New York, and a member of the Executive Council of the American Jewish Historical Society. Mr. Jonas.
In writing about the medieval poem, The Song of Roland, Dorothy L. Sayers points out that the magic of legend has been at work, and a small historic event has swollen to a vast epic of heroic proportions and strong ideological significance. Thus it may be with the story of Abraham Freiberg, the gold seeker in the centennial state, Colorado, one of the Union since 1876. Is it fact or is it fiction? An unlikely story is the title attached to its telling. An unlikely story may well be the question that comes to mind when we contemplate this tiny episode in the history of a state, a nation. But of these tiny episodes, both factual and legendary, is compounded the history of a whole people. Abe Freiberg, the gold seeker, was, of course, more than that. He was, we might say also, a bearer, a carrier of riches of another sort. For to the formless and forming frontier community in which his small story develops, he brings the message of tradition, reminding his individual auditors, not the mob or mass or crowd, that the past is both prologue and teacher. The late Dixon Ryan Fox, American historian, once wrote a little essay entitled Culture in Knapsacks, applying the notion to one phase in American history following the Revolutionary War. But the idea, the notion, is imperishable. The Abe Freibergs also carried culture in their knapsacks. What makes the unlikely story of little Abe confronting the terrors of the frontier and the lynch mob so very likely is that such episodes occurred not once, but thousands of times. From the cultural knapsacks of many, Jews, of course, among them, have come the elements that have combined to make what Max Lerner has called America, a civilization. Here was Abe Freiberg amidst the 2-mile-high mountains, carrying, of all things, a book. But a special book it was, a book that relates of other pioneers seeking both the substance of precious metals and the sustenance of inspiration, of wholesome tradition, of knowledge of man in relation to a concept of a divine law. The magic of legend and the satisfaction of fact. Today, a new generation of scholars has become interested in writing the histories of the Abe Freibergs, multiplied many times, appearing in many places, serving as the main figures in stories, both unlikely and likely.
Thank you, Mr. Jonas. Our eternal light drama today, An Unlikely Story, was written by Joseph Mendel and based on the book entitled Pioneers, Peddlers, and Tzaddikim by Ida Uchil, by permission of Sage Books, published by Alan Swallow. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Michael Shillow as Abe Freiberg, Jim Bowles as Slater, Dean Lyman Omquist as the bartender, Bill Zuckert as Comanche, Joseph Julian as Peters, Bill Martell as Gibbs, and Harvey Hayes as a prospector. Our narrator was Santos Ortega. This is Vic Roby. Our program was directed by George Voutsas. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.